Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi everyone, it's Gavin J, the best thing since platinum, and you're listening to Therapy Suite right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week I talked to Connor, founder of Spark UK, who supports young people's mental health. Welcome to the show, Connor. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
No, my pleasure. Connor, before we talk about Spark UK, talk to us a bit about your background before you got to that point.
Yes, yeah, I'm an 18-year-old teenager living in North Devon. I just finished my A-levels. So I was doing business, media and drama down here in North Devon. I'm very much a, passionate mental health advocate. I grew up in Devon, very much kind of interested in getting involved in as much as I could. I liked learning a lot. I was very much somebody that liked to learn on the job. I hated exams, hated, all of the ways of sort of going into education and having to rely on exams and rely on sort of maths and English. And that wasn't my strong point. I was very much somebody that loved to learn actually doing things. So hence why business and media was, amazing for me, because I got to do things and I got to get my hands dirty in that. And yeah, I'm sort of, really passionate and really wanting to make a difference.
Fantastic. And you say you're in Devon, a beautiful part of the world.
Yes, it is. Luckily, we've got the beach about 5-minute walk from me.
Oh, done.
I've been out in the sun all day today, out enjoying the weather.
That is fantastic. Devon's more like Europe, isn't it? The beach and everything like that. It's just completely, yeah. I haven't been there. I've heard it's gorgeous though. So a lot of people, I've spoken to people that live there as well, and they just say it's amazing, basically.
Honestly, I was in Malta a few weeks ago and I got back from Malta and didn't realize, that was the first time I realized how much I missed Devon. Was actually being somewhere else for a week and realizing how much I take it for granted. I mean, we've got about 10 minutes drive from me. I've got the third best beach in the UK, which, I completely take for granted.
That's amazing. That is amazing. Yeah, I've heard quite a lot. I've spoken to actually quite a few people that live around the Devon area before, and it just sounds unbelievable, I'll stop talking about Devon. I just get a little bit jealous, I'll be honest with you, mate. Basically, talk to us, Connor. What is Spark UK? Tell us a bit more about, what you do in the organisation.
Yeah, so we do many, many things. I wear many different hats, as they say. We are a youth-led organisation. We believe we're one of the UK's only youth-led mental health organisations. And everything we do around our aim, which is to spark conversations around mental health. So we create resources for schools, we create campaigns, we do a lot of work on different research projects. So we work with universities on research. We do a lot around youth voice and youth entrepreneurship. As a solely youth-led organisation, we really try to sort of show the power of young people and how much young people can achieve. Our resources are used by over 300 schools across the country. As I said, we do a lot of campaign work. So we've worked with celebrities. We've worked with people like Judi Dench, Stephen Fry, Emma Thompson. We go into schools and deliver workshops and webinars. We do a lot around exam stress, around emotions, things like anxiety. We go in and deliver training to schools as well. So we're currently aiming to set up an ambassador program, which the aim will be to train up students in every single school around the country to become mental health ambassadors. And we're building an online platform around that. And yeah, we just do lots of work. Basically, anything we can do around mental health and youth mental health, we try and do.
It's fantastic. Where did the name come from, Spark UK?
Yeah, it's something that just came to me. It's a very boring story. I was basically asleep, woke up one morning at about 2 a.m., this thing came into my head. I wrote it on the whiteboard, woke up the next morning, and Spark was written on my whiteboard, and it just kind of went from there.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then after that, you know, it's really worked. You know, you've got Spark Conversation, we've got Spark Ambassadors, we've got Sparks of Knowledge. So it kind of, it very much worked, but in the moment, it just kind of came to me in the middle of the night.
That's cool. What inspired you to start Spark UK?
So in 2017, I moved to North Devon from Mid Devon. So I basically left year six and in one area of Devon, started year seven in a whole nother place. I had a change in personal circumstances, change in family, and basically I was expecting to go to one school, ended up in a completely different school over that summer. So I moved to this new place, not knowing a single person. I was going from a big fish in a small pond to a very small fish in a massive pond. So I was looking for opportunities. I enjoyed doing things, as I said. When I was in primary school, I was always, you know, school counsellor, playground buddy, part of like fundraising for everything I could. Very much an active person within the community. So I moved to this new area and I was like, I don't know what to do. I've got no friends. I don't know anybody here. And within the first few weeks, there's this opportunity, which was a 10-week training program on mental health. And I thought this will, you know, something to keep me busy as such, to make new friends and to really get involved in something. I knew nothing about mental health. You know, it was 2017. It wasn't really spoken about as much as it is now. It wasn't necessarily as relevant as it is now. And yeah, we kind of took part in this training program. It was an hour a week over 10 weeks. And I learned so much about mental health. I made a lot of new friends all across the whole school. So there was, you know, 5-year gaps between some of us. And yeah, we were really learning about mental health. And then we decided to carry that on as a school. So we set up a mental health ambassador program, did that for a few years. We did, you know, assemblies, we did fundraising, we did an Ofsted conference, which 14-year-old me talking at an Ofsted conference was quite a surreal moment. And yeah,
it's amazing.
Honestly, it was a very surreal thing to be at an Ofsted conference telling all these professionals. I think one of the things that we got them to do is we were playing ball games with them. So we were throwing balls at them and telling them to talk about their emotions. And this was a bunch of like 50, 60-year-old head teachers who are meant to be proper, you know, the very much traditionally you expect them to be very rock solid in terms of how they appear. And we were getting them to play games with us and it was great.
That's brilliant. And yeah,
we really carried that on. And then unfortunately COVID happened. Funding got cut, staff didn't have the time anymore. Education was so hard because teachers were trying to teach. They had no time to be able to do anything extracurricular. And we really struggled as a school group. We went through about 3 or 4 staff leaders in the space of like 2 months. And basically every idea we had got shut down for various reasons because people just didn't have the time to put to it. So me and a group of the other ambassadors, we went out for a coffee and we were ranting about the mental health system. We said what would be like in an ideal world. Well, we'd like celebrities to be talking about mental health. We'd like more resources created by young people. We'd like podcasts around mental health. We'd like all this stuff. And then we had this realization of why we said in an ideal world, why don't we just try doing this? And it sort of went from there. We expected absolutely nothing from it. And here we are 4 years later as a national organization.
It's fantastic. I think you guys have done so well. Well, you've done so well in your team from, you know, where you was before. COVID, I remember speaking to a charity organization around that time and they were telling me about what charities were generally going through. And it was a real nightmare because their funding got cut down because no one knew, all the funders didn't know what was happening and they had their own financial issues. So it was just all charity basically suffered somehow or another. That's my understanding, you know. However, with COVID came along more awareness for mental health as well. So I'm guessing your organization may post the peak point of COVID, there probably became more awareness for your organization and what you're doing. Would that be right?
Yeah, so we started in December 2020. So we were sort of in that weird time where we're in and out of lockdowns. And yeah, we kind of spent a few months really sort of cementing what we wanted to do. We started creating resources. The majority of our meetings were consisting of sat on my sofa in my lounge, eating pizza, and just sitting as a group and working out what would we like to achieve. What lessons would we like to create? We'd sit and develop some lessons. We'd work with some professionals on getting them vetted. And then pretty much overnight in October 2021, we got featured in The Guardian and everything exploded completely. And we basically, all this awareness, all these things that we'd built up for the past 6 months, overnight got shown nationally. And I think that for us was the realization that actually mental health is so, you know, it was a lot more spoken about in that time, sort of 2021. People were actually realizing the impact that COVID had on young people. Social media was on the rise. Obviously, TikTok was rising. And yeah, there was just a lot of, I think if you see a graph, I think funding was going down, but the need for charities were going up.
Went up, yeah.
So it was a difficult position. And for us, we had no expenditure. We're a group of teenagers. None of us were being paid. We had no offices. We had no overheads. So we could go and do whatever we want, basically. I'm a very ambitious person. Nothing was off limits. And try and achieve what we could in this world where there was very little money for funding and try and achieve as much as we could.
Gosh, sounds like, obviously, you get challenges as well, don't you? It just comes with the territory, isn't it?
Definitely.
Everything exploded overnight. Literally, The Guardian. I mean, that's brilliant to have gotten. Yeah. How did you get into The Guardian?
Yeah, so we were lucky that in our first few months, we got a meeting with a group of local children's homes, and they basically donated us £5,000. So I remember going into their office, not knowing what to expect. I was 14 at the time. I had my mum with me, and I had my younger sister, who must have been about 9 or 10 at the time, going into their office, and they said, we're telling them about what we do. They said, we'd love to donate some money to you. Would £5,000 be enough? And me sat there like, yeah, I don't really know what to do with that kind of money. But they then sort of supported us. Some of that money went towards a press officer. So we had a PR company that did some press for us. And that was the first year of our advent calendar. So we'd already had Emma Thompson, Bradley Walsh, Stephen Fry all send us videos around mental health. And so The Guardian picked up on World Mental Health Day as kind of a launch for the advent calendar. And yeah, as I said, it basically, I remember that night sitting, refreshing the website every 30 seconds and watching the views go up in like the hundreds. And I think overnight we got about 200 schools sign up. We had so many partnership requests come in that like I was losing track to be able to actually respond to them. And yeah, since then, we've just been incredibly lucky to kind of get all the press. We've done The One Show, Men's Health, all these incredible publications and really trying to show what young people are capable of. But yeah, that was the real first kind of, here's the need and here's the actual potential we could be doing.
Brilliant. Fantastic. We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So kind of thanks for that insight into Spark UK and how it started and how well you guys have done in the last number of years, getting into the Guardian. I think it's fantastic. Given that the organisation is run by young people, can you share some insights into the challenges and opportunities that come with having a youth-led organisation?
Yeah, I think it's definitely, there's been a lot of barriers in place for us. It's, you know, society isn't built for young people to be creating their own organisations, to be setting up.
Not used to it.
Exactly. Not even used to it. So very much for us, it was a challenge to get started. You know, for the first 6 months, nobody was really taking us seriously. We were at a point where we were very wary in terms of how we were to go about. Nobody wanted to support us. Nobody wanted to help us. And it was only after The Guardian that everybody then wanted to support us. And that was a bit of a, I had to learn firsthand how to not get taken advantage of in terms of from a business and a organization point of view. And I think that's one thing that's not necessarily spoken about. And as a youth-led organization, you know, I was a 15-year-old. I didn't know, you know, I wasn't aware of kind of what business deals were good, what wasn't, what opportunities and partnerships, and what was meant to be good or not. I was lucky that I do have quite good sort of intuition in that way, and I can kind of sense whether something's going to go well or not. And as of touch wood, as of 4 years, we've never really had any bad experiences with people where they've tried to sort of take advantage of us as an organization. But that was a massive sort of risk for us. And equally, a lot of the work we were doing could have been quite easily stolen by a bigger charity. So, for example, our Advent calendar campaign, a mental health Advent calendar with celebrities involved. When we first started, there was nothing like it. And within the first year, we thought, you know, we've got all this publicity. It is a very easy concept for another charity with much more money for branding and publicity and marketing to take over and to completely steal that idea from us. But we're incredibly lucky, you know, we're in our fourth year of that campaign and nobody has done anything similar to it. And still to the day, nobody has done anything similar to it, which I guess has brought lots of positives, but it does bring challenges because, you know, we are still learning on the job. I am 18 as a full-time CEO. I am learning how to work for myself, how to work full-time, how to manage people. You know, we're a small team. We've got 7 young people involved and I'm learning to manage that. You know, we all started as friends. So it's trying to learn that balance on the job of how to, where the boundaries are in terms of friendships and work colleagues and in terms of commitments from young people and sort of getting that balance. And equally, obviously, from an actual mental health perspective, from a personal mental health perspective, As I said, I started when I was 14. I was going through GCSEs, I was going through A-levels, and I had to learn how to say no and how to turn down opportunities because we were in a position where we were getting all these incredible opportunities daily. And unfortunately, there's only so many hours in the day. And obviously, education took priority and all these different things took priority. And it was a real challenge to kind of get that balance where I had to learn to kind of stop work at a certain time of the day because otherwise I'd be working into the late night because I would be sort of living these two lives of a student in school, but also a full-time CEO. So yeah, those challenges that you sort of really have to learn on the job and really have to try and go through.
Do you get advice from anyone outside of yourself? Because all CEOs, you know, they've got contacts as well. There's people, they have mentors and that kind of thing, or other people they can liaise with. Is there anyone that you talk to at all and liaise with?
Yeah, so we've got lots of mentors, both personally for me as a CEO, I've got a lot of mentors that support me. But as an organisation, we've got a board of advisors. So we've got 6 professionals who support us in various different categories and sectors. So they work in, we've got some in finance, the commercial world, the charity world, and they really support us as an organization to sort of learn, you know, use their expertise as such to grow as an organization. And then obviously my personal mentors, they help me grow as a CEO, but also as a public speaker and as a sort of doing everything else that comes as a CEO, because as a CEO, you are the face of the organization. So although majority of your time is spent actually running the organization, you equally have to go and network with people, and you have to go and do talks, and you have to go and travel. And see, I've had mentors both locally to me, so people that I can message now and go for a coffee with, but equally people much further afield. And I think I'm in a very unique position where I'm one of the only people my age who runs a national organization. So that also brings its own challenges, because it means nobody else has really been through what I've been through. So people can obviously help me from their own personal perspectives and from their own personal journeys, but there is nobody else in the world that has kind of done what I've done at this age and achieved kind of the different things that we've achieved. And yeah, so there's kind of those struggles sometimes.
How does Spark UK approach mental health support for young people, and what programs or initiatives have been particularly successful?
Yeah, I think for us, we very much focus on early intervention. So we understand we're not mental health professionals. We haven't gone and done degrees in clinical psychology and mental health, and, you know, we're not doctors. So everything we do is around that early intervention. So it's about talking about emotions, talking about self-care. It's building those skills that will help you in life. So a lot of the initiatives that we do is around topics such as self-care, is around gratitude, around these simple small things that can support you on a short-term basis. So for example, you know, we go into a lot of primary schools and we support the young people in sort of teaching them these skills, that if they are having a bad day, they know what they can do to try and lighten their day. And, you know, we're not saying if, you know, you've had a bad day for 2-3 months every day, you know, every day for 3 months, we can't support that way, but we can support in that much shorter term. And then we sort of go into schools, and the initiatives we run is really trying to sort of empower young people. I think what we've always found that resources around mental health are very outdated typically. I typically describe videos around mental health as early 2000s BBC Three documentaries. That's typically how I describe them. And yes, so for us, we're very much about creating short form video content as well as having conversations. So the majority of the lessons that we do in schools, we will ask questions. So, and we encourage those classes to have group conversations to come up with a class definition, because that way those young people feel empowered, they feel in a safe environment, and they feel like they can talk to each other. And it brings that ownership, and you're more likely to take on board something that you've actually created yourself rather than something that a teacher's stood for an hour lecturing you about.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Is journaling something that you also talk about with your people that you're supporting? Because through a lot of the shows I've done, I've noticed a lot of people mention journaling and the benefits of that as well.
Yeah, we are very strong advocates for journaling. It's something that we do, a lot of us do personally. It's a lot of stuff that a lot of the organisations we work with. We work with an incredible business called Happy Self Journal, which produce journals specifically for young people, for teenagers, for kids, and for adults. And they are sort of pre-designed journals that sort of go through that process with you. And when we do our lessons around gratitude and stuff, we very much encourage young people to end each day or start each day with something they're grateful for and writing that down and keeping track of that. So when you are having bad days, you can look back on that and you can understand, you can look at what you're grateful for.
I think what you mentioned was brilliant, gratitude. I don't think we do it enough. And again, on a lot of people I've spoken to, a lot of people bring up gratitude. And myself, I use it. I think to myself, if you're having a bad day, if you're having a bad day or a good day, I just think, you know, at the end of the day, you just tend to wind down. I think, well, you know, that went well. I can improve in this area. And then you just generally, then you, it goes out from there, you know, you look at your health, you look at how, you know, your quality of your life, et cetera, and go from there. So I think it's brilliant that you bring up gratitude because I think it's very powerful.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think gratitude is so powerful. It's, you know, a lot of people don't realize it, and especially sort of teenagers in life, primary school kids in life, you don't necessarily realize gratitude. You see it as similar to self-care. You see it as this very sort of, you've almost got sort of that Instagram influencer style thing where you hashtag self-care stuff. But actually, in reality, it's just looking, self-care is just looking after yourself.
Absolutely.
Just looking, sort of trying to look at the positives and think about what you're grateful for and kind of looking at that perspective. And by having that, it really, you know, brings that those elements.
Absolutely. And even if things are going well, it doesn't make a difference whether it's good or bad. Gratitude is just really important just to kind of, you know, make us feel more confident, look into ourselves in terms of, you know, patting yourself on the back, you know, looking at what you've done and what's going on and moving forwards, you know, because it's like self-care, like you mentioned, it's so important. And that's what helps us get by day to day, you know. Why do you think it's important to change the stigma around mental health?
There is still such a stigma around it. And I think young people and people in general, to be completely honest, don't understand what mental health actually is. So we find this a lot in the work that we do, is when I initially started within the first few weeks of Spark being a thing, I had people in my class come up to me and say, "You're a clown. How dare you talk about this? You don't have mental health." And actually, that you don't have mental health, well, mental health is something we all have. And actually, it shows that there's still a lack of education around it. And people don't understand what mental health is. I think when people think of mental health, they automatically think of the sort of mental illnesses, and they don't necessarily think about actually mental health is like emotions. It's like our physical health. Sometimes it can be good, sometimes it can be bad. And it's about really trying to show everybody, no matter who you are, what walk of life you come from, that we all have mental health. And by doing that, we're able to support people more and help them understand themselves better, I'd say, as well.
Absolutely, 100%. In what ways does Spark UK engage with the young people it aims to serve, as in how are their voices incorporated into the organisation's decision-making processes?
Yeah, so that's something that we're always asked. You know, I think a lot of people, I'm pretty much told on a daily basis, you're only going to be young for so long. What do you do when you're no longer young?
I can vouch for that. It goes quick. But anyway, sorry, go on.
It's a question that very scares me because I like to be young at the minute. But
I really don't blame you. I wish I could be young.
Yeah. For us, obviously, everybody's young at heart is what I go to first.
Absolutely.
We're all young at heart.
Yeah.
But as an organisation, our aim is to train up students in every school to become mental health ambassadors. And by doing that, we are creating an ecosystem of young people across the whole country who are passionate about mental health and want to sort of engage in mental health. And we are creating an online platform. We're going to be one of the only, you know, the only program for young people that has an online platform that's going to have resources, webinars. It's going to have community forums. There's going to be opportunity areas. And the aim is to create this network of young people that actually, as an organisation, we can support them. We've been building this organisation for 4 years. We've now got this platform that we want to be able to support as many young people as possible. And actually, if they've got their own ideas, if they've got things they want to achieve, we want to be able to support them in that. And then we can also bring them into the organisation. So it's basically allowing us to work with as many young people as we can and bring them to the forefront of the organisation. We want to be helping them, give them the resources to create their own resources, give them the platform to then put those resources on. We want to ensure that they are involved in every aspect of our organisation. And that's something that's very unique to the majority of charities and organisations, where, you know, most charities will have a youth advisory board, which, you know, a group of young people who, you know, bounce ideas. A lot of those are tick box exercises. for us, it is very much young people are at the core of everything they do. They'll be at the forefront of everything we do. I will, when I'm no longer young, take a step back and allow them to be the forefront of the organization, the motors of the organization, and I will help advise them in that. And that's sort of something that we are very passionate about in ensuring that we are always youth-led.
I think it's brilliant, honestly. You know, and it's inspirational as well, isn't it? Because it kind of, other young people can look at you and also think, you know what, they're doing that and they're doing, and it might be in a different field altogether, you know, but they can look at you and think, oh, in fact, it's inspirational for the older people as well. But the point is that, you know, you think, oh, well, he's doing really well. Well done to him. And, you know, if he can do it, maybe I can try and push myself to, you know, achieve whatever aims and objectives that they those people have, you know. So I think it's brilliant, you know, in itself what you're doing. Can you highlight some of the successes, you know, in terms of success stories or impact that Spark UK has had and witnessed since its inception?
Yeah, I think going back to that point that you just said a minute ago, a lot of the work we do is around, you know, if you've got this idea, go for it, do it. You know, as an organisation, we went from nothing. I didn't have contacts with people. I didn't know, you know, CEOs of other charities. We started from the ground up. And very much what I talk about is the power of an email. Every celebrity we've ever had on the advent calendar was me cold calling and sort of cold emailing them and their agents. Every partnership we've ever had is basically me cold emailing them. I mean, I think a story which perfectly sums up the power of cold emailing and actually is a success story for us is getting Dame Judi Dench on the advent calendar.
That's brilliant. Fantastic.
We emailed her agent. We didn't get a response for months, assumed that she wasn't going to do it. One day, out of the blue, I get a random email from a random email address, no subject, no description, nothing in the email other than a video. I click the video, and it's Judi Dench sending us a video on mental health. And I think that pretty much sums up, keep trying. You know, you never know. Even if somebody doesn't respond straight away, doesn't mean further down the line they aren't going to respond or they aren't going to help you. And, you know, we get no's all the time. We get people that say, no, we can't do that. But that's not a barrier. Just keep
rolling, isn't it, with the punches kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, again, that's really supported us. One of the big success stories for us is we were featured on The One Show last year. So The One Show came down a few years ago to do some filming with us. They created a short film around what we do. And on the back of that, we got a lot of emails from, a lot of them were grandparents, actually, who said they saw it with their family, they saw it with their young people, and it allowed them as a family to sort of open up that conversation and to talk about mental health. And for me, even if I can support one person, that is one person I've supported. And if we can try and support a couple people, that is better than nobody.
Absolutely.
And yeah, we've really tried to, you know, we're very much a online organization. In the modern world, everything's done over Zoom. Everything's done over email. You don't actually ever physically have to see anybody. So on the day-to-day, we don't necessarily see the impact of our work, because we don't go into the schools as much as we want to go and deliver work. Mm. We are only seeing those numbers, so it doesn't hit home until you get those emails from young people, from grandparents, like I just said, that are really saying the impact that that had. And by having that one thing, by sparking that conversation, as we always say, sparking that conversation, we don't need that impact that's had on that family and the community. So, yeah.
Fantastic, fantastic. We're just going to another quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
the station that makes you feel good.
So Connor, what advice do you have for young people who may be interested in getting involved in mental health advocacy or starting their own initiatives to support the well-being of their peers, or those who would like to start an organisation about something they're passionate about?
Yeah, I think the one thing I always say, and I'll go back to what I said a minute ago, was the power of an email. If you've got an idea, there's no harm in trying it. I think there's always the societal stigma of failure, that you're worried about failing. And actually, if you've got that mentality, if you automatically think you're going to fail, you're more likely to fail because you've got that in your head. But there is no harm in sending an email. There's no harm in just asking, because the worst you're going to get is a no. And let's be honest, yeah, no in the moment might be not the best, but there's a reason for that no most of the time. And typically it's something you can build on. So I always say, just if you've got an idea, you never know what's going to happen if you just send an email. So try it, see what happens. I think a lot of people are worried of that. You know, a lot of big charities who, you know, want to get celebrities on board, they ask me all the time, how do you get these big celebrities? And they don't believe me when I said I just emailed them. It's about building up those connections. The world is very much about who you know, not what you know. And I think, you know, setting up the organization at 14, I didn't know much about business. I didn't know much about the mental health world or the charity world. I just knew I had a passion for it and I wanted to achieve something. And in the moment, I didn't know what I wanted to achieve as such. You don't necessarily need to know. Just if you've got this passion for something, try it, because you've always got other things to fall back on. And I think that's a big thing, no matter where you are. You don't have to all of a sudden, you see all these people that go, I had this epitome and I left my job and I started this and this is what I did. It doesn't have to be like that, because that's not realistic for everyone. It's not realistic to one day quit your job and go start your own thing, because unfortunately a lot of people aren't in that position to be able to do that. But slowly working away at it over time, you don't know what you're going to achieve. And you don't know what you're going to achieve. As I said, you could achieve anything. So the sky's the limit, as they say.
Absolutely. Are there any partnerships or collaborations that have been particularly beneficial for Spark UK? And how do you see collaboration playing a role in advancing mental health initiatives for young people?
We are very much a partnership-focused organisation, I would call us. We aim to partner with as many organisations as we can, because my mentality is that we are all working for the same aim. So what's the point in trying to work separately when we should work together and build a bigger workforce? One of our highlight partnerships was BAFTA. So we commissioned BAFTA last year to produce 3 short films for us for our advent calendar campaign, which again was just a very surreal moment to be commissioning BAFTA.
That's amazing.
Massive organization. You know, as I always go back to, that initiated from me emailing them, asking them. So I think that's one partnership that we are very proud of and we hope to continue working with. We've also got an incredible partner called Utibu, which are a creative education partner. We work on projects throughout the whole year with them. And it really, for us, shows the power of partners. We try and cross paths in every way we possibly can. Me and their creative director were in Malta together 3 weeks ago for a conference. We spent a week in Malta. And that week, you know, we'd never met in person before. We'd been working together about 1.5, 2 years on Zoom, but we'd never met in person. And the first time we met in person was at Gatwick Airport, flying to Malta for a week together for a conference. And yeah, I think that week really highlighted the power of partnerships. And coming away from that, it really showed us we had this whole new vision of what we wanted to achieve. We had whole new paths of how we can support more people. And you can support more people if you work with other people. We work with as many charities as we possibly can, because we can all share our expertise. And if we share our expertise, we're going to share our reach. And with funding so limited right now, if every charity tries to run the same project individually, that's going to cost a lot of money. But if they all work together on one project, that's going to be so much beneficial for the money.
Absolutely. What is the future for Spark UK? Where do you see the organisation in 5 years' time?
Yes, we really are on a rapid growth right now. I'm very much calling these few months, we are shifting from a passion project to full-time organisation, which is a very scary process, but equally a very exciting process. For us, in the next 5 years, we're really working on this ambassador programme. We aim to train up students in every school in the country in the next sort of 5 to 10 years to become mental health champions, to become Spark ambassadors, and really provide them with the skills needed for life to not only become advocates for mental health, but also to set up their own initiatives and to develop those life skills. And then also, we really much just want to continue sparking those conversations in as many ways as we possibly can, and really trying to get mental health spoken about more in education, get more resources out there, and more time spent in schools taught about mental health.
Absolutely. I think it's fantastic. If people want to reach out to you and get in contact, and whether it's for advice or to use your services, let us know, if you can, please, where best to contact.
Yes, definitely. So we're across all social media platforms. On Instagram, we're Spark Teams. Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, we are Spark UK. And then our website is sparkuk.co.uk. So you can find us basically on any platform. And yeah, we are always open to meeting new people and to, yeah, work in as many ways as we can.
Fantastic. Connor, it's been great talking to you. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Really appreciate it. You're really inspirational. And I, you know, wish you luck for the rest of the future in terms of everything that Spark UK and yourself are doing.
Thank you.
And thank you to our listeners. You know you can find me at GavinJ417 on Instagram. Until next time, take care.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.